So today is an exciting day for Eastside. We are going to appoint two new elders. And if we have any visitors here, or if you don't know me, my name is Phil Cornwell, and I'm not the preacher here. I'm not used to giving sermons. So I have a bit of a disclaimer. Do not judge the quality of the sermons or preaching here based on my performance this morning. Come back and listen to Eddie would be my recommendation to you all. Now, I'd like to start with a story. This is a story about an older woman who hadn't been to church in many, many years. And so at the grocery store, she saw something on the wall about a go back to church day. And I think today was a go back to church day. So she decided, I need to go back to church. So she woke up on Sunday morning. She put on her best dress, which was not very good. She was of very modest means. She didn't have a car, so she walked to the church that was closest to her. And as she walked up, she saw a group of men in really nice coats and ties. Just can't imagine. But they were wearing coats and ties and had nicely cut hair. And they were greeting everyone. And the women all had nice dresses and jewelry and their hair was all fancy. And so she felt very conscious, but she walked up. And one of the men approached her and said, you know, we have a very strict dress code here. And we believe by dressing well, we're giving our most to God. And he turned her away. And so she was just stunned and shocked. And so she walked to a nearby bench and sat down, and she was feeling shame and humiliation and starting to get angry when she felt a hand on her shoulder. And she looked over, and there was Jesus. And Jesus said, don't feel bad. They won't let me in either. And the reason I like that story is because it shows exactly what an elder isn't. Elders don't guard appearances. We're to guard people. We do not keep the broken out. Our job is to help bring the broken in. So before we appoint Brian and Joe, I'd like to spend a few minutes seeing what the Bible has to say about church leadership and leadership in general. And if you look at the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, we have this image of a servant leader as being a shepherd. And we know Moses and David were actually shepherds before they became leaders of Israel. But even after they became leaders, they're called to shepherd the people. And in the New Testament, we have this term called elders. And we're told in Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church. So every church, there was a group of men called elders that were appointed, with prayer and fasting, committing them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Titus 1:5 says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Now, why the organization of elders? I'm not sure. Maybe have something to do with the Jewish synagogue and the Jewish community generally had a group of elders, older men that helped govern, if you will, the community. But clearly, Paul appointed elders, and God never intended his church to be without some sort of guidance. So I would like to take a few minutes to go down the road of Greek. And this is actually, I don't know if Dave Blanchard is here, but this is attributed to him because he facilitated the elders' workshop last summer and he shared this and I thought it was really good. So there are three basic Greek words that are used in relationship to this position, if you will. There is presbyteros, which is usually translated elders. There is episkopos, which is translated overseer typically. And then there is poimen, which is translated shepherd. And just like it sounds, presbyterios, elder, means an older man, but not just an old man. It's someone who is sort of respected for the wisdom and is spiritually mature. So that's what that is intended to indicate. Episkopos, overseer, is one who watches over. So this is talking about the responsibility to guard and to guide the church. There's this oversight responsibility, if you will. And finally, shepherd emphasizes the role of caring and feeding and leading with compassion. So those are the three primary Greek words that are used. And all three of them are used in the passage on the next slide, in Acts chapter 20, where it says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. So clearly it was a designated group of men who were elders. And later in the chapter, he's giving them direction. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be bishops of the church of God, which was bought with his own blood. So we see this shepherding role, we see this oversight role, and we see them being called elders. So when we're looking for elders, we're looking for men who are spiritually mature. The Bible says not to appoint new converts. We're looking for men who have the oversight or watchfulness of overseers and the caring of a shepherd. And if you remember here, you know our process. Several months ago, we asked the church family, nominate men you think who would be good elders. And as a result of that, we had about 10 men who were nominated. Now, I want to emphasize, this is not an exhaustive, these are the only 10 men that would have been good elders. That is not the case at all. Some men were probably not nominated because they'd already made it clear they're really not interested or for whatever reason. But these 10 men were nominated, and we as current elders had conversations with them, not as a group, but one-on-one, and we'd ask them, you know, you were nominated. Is this something you're interested in? Do you have any questions? And there were three primary buckets of responses. One was, no, thank you. And it wasn't mean, or it's like, I am already serving the church. I'm comfortable with what I'm doing. I'm not really interested in the role of an elder. And it was just perfectly fine. And I want to emphasize, all these men are already serving the church, or else they wouldn't have been nominated. And there are many other men and women who serve this church faithfully, but they were not interested. Another group was, well, maybe sometime in the future, but not now. Maybe for work reasons or personal reasons or family reasons, but it just wasn't a good time for them to be an elder and to take on this responsibility. And the final group was, first of all, there were no yeses. The final group was, let me think about this, let me pray about this, and let me talk to my wife about this and discuss it. And ultimately, two men agreed to serve, and that's Brian Bassem and Joe Gambrell. So that was sort of the process that took us to this point. And ultimately, we don't follow men. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. He's the model of what it means to be a shepherd. In John 10, verse 11, he says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So elders, we as elders, are called to have that same sacrificial love as Jesus did. Now, one of my favorite passages on shepherding is from 1 Peter. Chapter 5. It says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock under your care, serving as overseers, not because you have to, but because you're willing, like God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, which is great because we don't pay elders anything. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. So the three characteristics there are a willingness, an eagerness to serve, and a recognition that you need to be an example to everyone in the congregation. Now, no talk on shepherding or elders would be complete without mentioning 1 Timothy chapter 3 as well as Titus chapter 1. And I'm not going to read these chapters. If you're in a life group, you may discuss these this evening. But for me, Paul is not making a job description here. He's not making a checklist. What he's trying to do is paint a picture of what it means to be spiritually mature. And that includes being faithful to your wife, being self-controlled, being respectable, hospitable, gentle, not quarrelsome, able to teach. And there are other ones, but this is just what I fit on the slide here. So again, it's not a checklist. It's a list of qualities. And you'll notice most of these are not about ability. They're about character, except maybe the last one, ability to teach. Not necessarily everyone has the comfortability to come up in front of a large group like this or a classroom. But teaching can also be teaching one-on-one with an individual. I think ability to teach means able to share the gospel with someone and teach them the gospel. That's what it means by ability to teach. And for me, Joe and Brian and none of us elders are perfect, but we do love this church. We love God, and we're ready and willing to serve as shepherds and do the very best we can. The elders are not a board of trustees. I think this is really important. At some churches, I've seen it like that. Elders are shepherds. There is an oversight role, but we, as elders, didn't look for who's the most successful businessman in here. They'll be a really good shepherd. And maybe they would be, but that's not the, being a successful businessman is not the criteria that we look for. So, there is a congregational role in all this. So this is directed to you all as a church family. Hebrews 13, 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." For me, this is a very, very sobering verse. It says, we are keeping watch over your souls, and we have to give an account. And I think all of us elders take this very seriously and recognize it's fair. And I think this is probably a reason some people don't want to become an elder. But as a result, I do have a request for you all in terms of how do you make this a joy and not groaning. And so here's a list. And I didn't run any of this by any of the other elders. So please don't hold them accountable for anything I say that might offend you. But here is my ask from you all. And I first of all want to say, this is already happening. You all already do this. It's more of a statement of how much we appreciate this. But we ask you to pray for us. Pray that we would have wisdom. Pray that we would be led by the Spirit as we try to guide this church. Pray that we would be aware of when people was hurting and how to best help people. So we ask you to keep us in prayers as well as keep this church in prayers and keep one another in prayers. So not all of this isn't just directed towards us, but it's directed towards the church family. Also, again, I receive a lot of encouragement from you all, but I really like it. I really like encouragement because when I first became an elder, we had a situation, and these are the most frustrating, is when someone's upset or angry about something we did, generally they're pretty free in letting us know, which is good, which I think is a really important thing. If you're upset or angry about something, I'd much prefer you come and talk to us as opposed to just send a letter and leave, which is sort of what happened when I first became an elder. There was a couple that was very angry about something and said they were leaving. And in my opinion, it was all a miscommunication in terms of what was happening. And I found that discouraging. I found that exhausting. And so having that balance of encouragement helps when times are difficult. I mean, that's part of our job, is trying to help people who are struggling. So I do ask for encouragement. And I ask you and for us to be a congregation of encouragement. So don't just encourage the elders, but when you see the praise team up here and say, man, she just sings with such joy, it just enhances my worship. Go up, and you may not know her name or his name, and say, I really appreciate what you do on the praise team. Or maybe you go talk to Taylor, send Taylor a note. I haven't had kids at home in many, many years. Thank you so much for what you do with the kids. She works so hard. Or Kevin with the teens. Or the people in the back in the booth, making sure the slides are working well. I want us to thank and appreciate and be a congregation that is lifting one another up. So before you leave today, go find someone, not necessarily me, but I'm available in case anyone's interested. But I'm joking. Find someone to encourage and thank them. Thank you for what you do on the mission support team. Thank you for preparing the communion. Thank you for picking up the tables. This is all magic. How does it happen? It's there and then it's gone. It's a miracle. Sort of like when I finish drugs in my, when I have medication in the morning and my bottle is empty, I put it on the counter and then the next day I've got it back. It's just amazing. And Rachel threatened, said, Phil, do not deviate from your script, because she's always afraid I'm going to embarrass her, and that was a clear example of doing that. So, which leads me to number three, which is you need to be patient with us. That's why I said that. We need to be patient. We are going to make mistakes. There may be times where you think you were not communicative. You did not explain this well. This was a stupid decision. You didn't say hi to me. We walked past, and you just walked past, and we just came back from a mission trip and you didn't acknowledge or ask how it went. So I ask for patience. We try to do the very best we can, but we are going to miss things. We're not going to do things as well as we should do things. I may forget your name. And I struggle with names, and I've always struggled with names. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because I think it strongly illustrates the point. When my youngest son was 6 months old, I was having a conversation with someone, and they asked, by the way, what's Stephen's middle name? And it's like, that's a weird question. And what's horrible about the question is, I don't know. And I'm not making this up. I thought, gosh, he is my son. What is his middle name? And then I'm stuck with this horrible situation of, okay, how do I figure out his middle name without letting Rachel know that I did not know his middle name? I don't know where his birth certificate is. I can't, you know, ask like a life group opening question. So, where did your children's middle names come from? And what are they? Rachel, why don't you go first? So I couldn't do that. So I finally bit the bullet and I said, Rachel, my love, what is Stephen's middle name? And she looked at me with this shock, pity, and this is what she said. She said, it's the same as yours. Which was an excellent answer, because now I have always remembered that his name is John. It's a good biblical middle name, and I know it forever. I remember when I met Erica here, she said, hi, I'm Erica, like Miss America. It's like, I've never forgot Erica's name because of Miss America. So when I talk to you and meet you, give me something to remember your name. And if I forget, it's you're in the same boat as my son, whom I love dearly. So it's a really good boat to be in. So I struggle with names. I'm trying to get better. It's not an excuse, but it's something I struggle with. And I'm asking for patience. And I ask we have patience with one another. People are offended so easily. I'm not going to tell that story, but I'd ask us to give one another, assume positive intent. If I tell you, that is a beautiful orange dress, you look like a pumpkin. Now that might be a bad example because it's hard to shape pumpkin into something positive, but maybe I genuinely thought that was a really nice thing to say. And you're thinking, you think I'm fat and round and orange. And so I ask us to assume positive intent with one another and to be patient with one another. And finally, I ask you to follow our lead as elders. That's what this verse in Hebrews says, but only follow us as we follow Christ, because we're ultimately all following Christ. And on the next slide, it talks about in 1 Peter that Jesus is the chief shepherd. And we basically work for him. John 10 talks about, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. I already read that one before. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. So this is pointing, again, we need that sacrificial love that Jesus had. But ultimately, he's the good shepherd. We don't follow men, we follow Jesus. And all of us, in order for this church to grow and thrive, is we need to be listening to the voice of Jesus. Now, we do have two men who were willing to serve this congregation as elders. We have Joe Gambrell and Brian Bassett. Now, I want to ask both of them to come at this point because I'm going to give them a charge. And they have expressed a willingness to serve. They are examples, and they are already shepherding. I remember one time I was talking to a shepherd. This was before I was an elder. And he was saying, the best way to find a shepherd is find a man who's already doing it, and they're the best candidate for this particular thing. So, next slide. So I'm going back to 1 Peter, because for me, this is the charge. 1 Peter, Peter is saying this, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must. You don't want someone, well, I guess it's my turn to be an elder, so I'll do it. That's not what you're looking for in, for an elder. So you must be willing as God, nope, go back, as God wants you to be. Back one slide. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. Now the next slide, please. So here is my charge. Joe, Brian, I'm asking you to feed the church through God's word. I'm asking you to guide the church in the ways of Christ. Protect the church from false teaching and division. Love the church in Christ, just as the way Christ loved us. And we're called to be examples in all things. I think that's giving to the church. I think it's service. I think it's hospitality. I think it's praying. I think it's Bible study. I think it's, there should be nothing we ask of you all that we are not willing to do ourselves. If we are asking you to be hospitable and invite people into your homes, we need to be doing that. If we're saying we have a work day, if you're available and can work, please come. We ought to be coming and work if we're available and can do that as well. So we really do want to be those examples and want to guide and lead this church. So I'm going to ask each of you, and I want hopefully an affirmative response. So Brian, are you willing to be an elder here at Eastside, serving as both a shepherd and an overseer?
I am willing.
And Joe, same question. Are you willing to serve as an elder, both as a overseer as well as a shepherd?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Now, I'm also going to ask something from you all, from the congregation. And so, church family, I'm going to ask you to support these men as well as the rest of your elders. And this is where I'm deviating from the slides. I was originally going to have you show the next build. I don't want you to say this anymore because I'm going to ask you a question and I want a response of I am willing to do that or I will do that. So that's the way I'm going to do this. So congregation, do you commit to honor, encourage, and pray for these two men as well as the rest of your shepherds? If you are, just say I am. And will you follow their example as they follow Christ? I will. And if we do this together, we can seek to glorify God as one body. Now, as I was preparing this, I felt like I should have said, by the power invested to me by Colorado and the Eastside Church of Christ, I now pronounce you elder and flock, shepherd and flock. But I decided not to, because that just sounded weird. So, and Rachel, whenever I do that, Rachel says, Phil, you already said it. You can't say you're not going to say it and then not. Anyway, I think you get a tiny glimpse of what it's like to be Rachel. And so hopefully that gives you much more sympathy and compassion for her. So at this point, I would like to invite the other elders up so we can pray for them. And the elders are old, so this could take a while. So while they're coming up, Brian and Joe both know this is not a position of status or power. This is a position of service and sacrifice. And we thank you so much for your willing to serve us and join this group. So I've asked Jake if he would be willing to say a prayer. So Joe, Brian, come over here. And before I forget, I had a real struggle of should I invite Bonnie and Amy up? Because obviously they wouldn't be here without the support of their lovely wives. And if they're here and they didn't tell their lovely wives that they were becoming an elder, then they should definitely join the marriage enrichment seminar at the beginning of October to improve their communication. So I really do want to encourage you all to attend that. But they would not be here without their support. I would not be here without Rachel. I cannot do what I do without Rachel. And that's true for all of the elders here. So I want to thank them and recognize them. And if you don't like the decision of not bringing them up, this is a fantastic opportunity to exhibit patience. So, Jake.
Well, before I ask for a prayer, I want to thank Phil for his words this morning. I think it's appropriate for all of us to take those words to heart. Let us pray. Lord, we're here today to welcome two new elders and their families. Joe and Brian have accepted a calling of service as Christian leaders in our church. We are asking them to help lead our family at Eastside. Their service is a commitment to the Lord and our family at Eastside. We also honor their wives, Amy and Bonnie, because family support of Joe and Brian's leadership is part of the service to the Lord and to our Eastside family. I pray that their leadership will bring praise to our Lord and push us forward to connect, grow, and serve. With this, I ask the Eastside family in saying, Amen.
Amen.